There is a parable that goes like this. Three people are walking on a wall. The first person is named Fact, the second person is named Faith, and the third person is named Feeling. And here they are walking along this wall where they need to keep their balance. Now think about this. Who is in the middle? It is Faith. And as long as Faith keeps his or her eyes on Fact, they will continue to be able to walk along the wall. But what happens if Faith, instead of keeping his or her eyes on Fact, is constantly looking around their shoulder to look at their feelings? It won't be very long before Faith falls off the wall and feelings may follow. We live at a time historically where we give an unprecedented amount of attention to our feelings. Feelings, feelings, feelings. There was a song by that name a long time ago. But feelings can never be what determine the direction of our lives. And that's why we need Trinity Sunday. Because this Sunday, more than any other Sunday of the Christian year, celebrates the fundamental fact of our faith. And people who are learning to keep their faith focused on the fact of who God is will discover something in their lives. Feelings will learn to follow. The Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church puts it succinctly in one paragraph. The mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. Isn't that significant? It is the central mystery. And every single solitary prayer that Roman Catholics pray, we always pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is that doctrine which is unique to Christianity. No other monotheistic faith, no other faith in the world understands that God is one in substance and three in persons. And here's the thing about this doctrine. Through the course of the year, from Advent until now, we have been talking about what God has done in time. That is how he has acted most fully in the person of Jesus Christ. And what is beautiful about today is as we celebrate the Trinity, we now talk about the very character of who God is, the God who has acted in time. So what does the Trinity do? It tells us who God is from all of eternity. Now think about it this way. In every kind of relationship, there are two things that are needed: communication and image bearing. Let me give a very simple example. Think of your garden. There's a rock in your garden, and we get a very heavy rain. And then you go out to your garden, and you see where that rock is, and you lift it up. What would be left in the ground where the rock had been? An image of that rock, imperfect, but at the same time, truly representing the rock. Okay, let's take it a little bit higher up. So in your garden, not only do you have rocks, but hopefully you've got plants. And what happens? As the plant, the flower, drops its seed into the ground, what is it doing? It is communicating with the soil. But is that all that happens? No, of course not. The seminating plant then is able to make an exact image of itself. So let's take it a step further. A man and woman, they fall in love. And as they fall in love, that love for one another grows deeper and deeper and deeper. And the purpose here is that through the time of courtship, They are to learn to communicate with one another. They are learning to speak one to the other, using words to reveal their hearts, using words to reveal their minds. And if that love continues to grow, and if they do this as God has intended, that communication will lead to a day where they will stand before one another and before God and God's people, and they will communicate these words. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death does us part. Those are words. But then they go from the communicating of words to communicating with their bodies. And at certain times and in certain ways, because the bond of communication is to result in image making, who is born 9 months later? A boy, a girl, twins, triplets, or heaven forbid, quadruplets or quintuplets. But do you see what I'm getting at here? Do you see how communication and image bearing are at the very heart of creation? Isn't that amazing? Now let's take it to the highest realm, the Trinitarian God, and think about the communication that exists in the Trinity. The Father can form a perfect image of himself in what theologians call the interior Word, who is the Son. The Father can reproduce an image that is the perfect reproduction of his own being in mind, will, personality, freedom, power, love, and simplicity. Now, St. Augustine, one of the most brilliant minds in the history of the church, said, if you think you know who God is, that's not God. Okay, so what I'm now trying to explain to you, this does not fully represent it, but it's trying to use our imperfect human language to understand the mystery above all mysteries. So now, the Son and the Father live in this beautiful interrelationship where they communicate with one another. And as the Creed says, the Son is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He is consubstantial with the Father. That is, they are one in being, but that they are two separate persons. Now, think of the communication that exists between the Father and the Son. They look at one another, and what do they see? They see the utter perfection of the other. They see the other's beauty, goodness, and truth. Now, what sometimes happens with young love? Oh, I'm so glad to be with you. There is that sigh, that expression of breath, that, of course, in the marital embrace, gives way to adoration, mouth to mouth, the sharing of breath, the sharing of body. The venerable Fulton Sheen used this beautiful phrase. He said, the sigh of the love between the Father and the Son is the Sanctus Spiritus, the Holy Spirit, the holy breath of God. You see, here's the point. The whole of creation reflects, as in a mirror, the white intensity of the divine love and the divine life. And so how can we, when we understand the dynamic between the communication and the image bearing that exists in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how can we learn to live our lives more and more so that our faith is focused on the fact of the Trinity, and we're not concentrating primarily on our feelings? Our readings give us three clear ways in which we can do this. Deuteronomy says we are to remember who God is. Romans says that we are to realize that God wants to be in relationship with us. And Jesus in the gospel says that we do this by realizing that we participate in his mission. Three words starting with the letter R. These are the three R's of Trinitarian truth. To remember God, to be in relationship with God, and to realize that we are to share in God's mission. So let's think about the Deuteronomy passage for a moment. What a beautiful passage that was, right? Because the first part of it focuses on what God has done, on God's saving work in delivering the people of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. Kind of like what we have done since Advent until last Sunday. But then the second part of today's reading, which I want to read for you again, says this. So acknowledge today and take to heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other God. Keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding you today for your own well-being and that of your descendants after you, so that you may long remain in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Do you get this? This is a passage that tells us how we can live life meaningfully. Remember God. Remember that he is the only God. And remember that as we learn to conform our lives according to his moral law, we will live long in the land. Now let me just suggest to you the following. In families where families are truly learning to live the Ten Commandments, in families where they truly learning are to lay down their lives for one another, in families where love of God, love of parents, and love of children is truly being exercised, what kind of home is that going to be? Will there be divorce at a home like that? No. Will there be difficulties? Of course, because every marriage, as I well know, has them. But the point is, we can live long in the land. And that's what God wants for us in this world. He wants our lives to have purpose, meaning. But if we're always looking back to our feelings, fights will always break out because it's our feelings and not the nature of God and how God has called us to live that are shaping our lives. So as we remember God, we then celebrate that we are to be in relationship with him. And I love what St. Paul says in that passage from Romans 8, that the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts so we can cry, Abba, Father. I was 22 years old. I was going through a profoundly difficult time in my life. It was a Thursday morning, and the night before I had cried out to God and said, I can't take it anymore. I woke up that morning with an awareness that I was loved from all of eternity in a way I had never known before. And that was the beginning of my conversion. I can trace everything in my life from the time I was 22 on that February day in 1982 to where I am standing before you today. Because what happened for Jonathan on that day? God's love was poured into my life, and I realized that the most fundamental thing in my life was the need for me to be in relationship with God. And you know what's happened over the course of the last 40 years? As I have grown in my relationship with God, my relationship with myself, I used to hate myself. I used to think constantly about what it would be like to be someone other than me. I would lie in bed just imagining that. And that would happen long after I had that conversion. Do you know what? I never think that anymore. I am really glad that I'm me. I am so thankful to God for the relationships of my life. And I am so thankful to God that he brought me to you. Because in the last 2 years I have been here, and I was ordained first as an Anglican at the age of 27, and 5 years ago Friday I was ordained a Roman Catholic priest. And one of the things that has happened for me since being at St. Peter's, God has brought a healing in my heart where I know in a way I never had before that he's called me to be a priest. He's called me to this life. He's called me to relationship. And that is the wonderful thing about this faith of ours, that as we understand and remember who God is, as we understand that we are to be in relationship with him, we realize something. We are to share this with others. And that's why at the very end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And again, one of the things I love about St. Peter's is this is a community where we realize that we are not to keep this to ourselves. That's why we're all over the World Wide Web. That's why we've got 7 schools that we go into. That's why we had over 500 children come to receive their first reconciliation and first Holy Communion. That's why we are on fire. We are on fire with the Holy Spirit because we are on fire with the love of God. And I am absolutely committed to seeing that St. Peter's will continue to grow in such a way that we will remember who God is. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that we will then understand the gift of being in relationship with Him and with one another. And we will realize there are so many people in this world who have no idea that faith is to follow fact. They're always looking at their feelings so that lives can be renewed. Lives can be restored. And people can experience what I did when I was 22, the outpouring of the love of God into my heart. This is our faith. This is what it means to be Roman Catholic. This is what it means to be part of the parish of St. Peter's. We have a Trinitarian God who calls us into Trinitarian love.